You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and a warm welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as we look ahead to the first major of the year, the 80th Masters. Is this the year that Rory McIlroy completes his career Grand Slam, or will it be Jason's day?
It's one tournament that I've always wanted to win. It's one tournament that I've always wanted to slide the jacket on and be able to go back there every year. So the motivation and the want there is there's no problem.
What a week we've got in store at the Augusta National Golf Club, where Jordan Spieth is the defending champion.
A little more amped up for it. There's just an added, you know, it's a major. You only get 4 a year, and that's kind of where your legacy's left in golf.
So who out of the big three has the best chance of winning in Georgia? Or will we see an outsider wearing the green jacket come Sunday night? Stay with us for our full Masters preview. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Gordon Brand Jr., who is absolutely stoked about the first major of the year, the Masters. Gordon, looking forward to it?
Well, aren't we all? Summer's arrived here in Britain, and the Masters is on. Who's going to win it? Day, Spieth, or Rory?
Well, it's just between three people for you, is it?
Well, I mean, I think...
Slightly narrow.
For the moment, that's okay. Who I'm going to say are the forerunners.
Well, it's to be discussed. What's the most magical thing about the Masters for you?
The one thing I like about this major is a golf course that we've all visited since I was 15. I've almost feel that I've played this golf course. It's a golf course that we all know. We all know the ins and out of the golf course. So it's great. It's almost like when it comes to back nine on Sunday, almost know where the pins are going to be and what's going to happen.
Well, joining us on the show from the United States is Matt Adams, who's got his own show, Fairways of Life. You can listen to that on SiriusXM, NBC Sports and Golf Channel. Matt, welcome to the show.
Gents, it's a delight to be with you. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask you the same question, Matt. What is magical for you about the Masters?
I think Gordon nailed it, that what makes the Masters so magical for all of us is it signifies the start of the warm season and the end of a long, gray, cold winter. And the fact that we've all grown up with our own memories of Augusta National that are all similar in basis, watching it with family, watching it with friends, knowing the back nine, knowing the roars, races from behind, and those that have charged up the leaderboard. It's interesting to me, Robert and Gordon, because here you have a golf course that's probably the most exclusive in the world, but the Masters for 1 week of the year belongs to every one of us.
Gordon, when you look at the form of the top players in the world, can you remember a Masters where so many people are playing well coming into the week?
No, I don't think I can. I mean, Stenson has finished second last week. We've got Day, which he's on an incredible run. The only guy, I think, at the top of the tree who's maybe not performing is Spieth. He's got a big task on his DC, you know, to join the defending champions that have defended the championship. We've got to go back to Nicholas, Faldo and Tiger Woods, if he can come a double champion. It's a big ask for Spieth, but there's some big runners out there.
Well, one man who is expected to challenge for the green jacket is, of course, Jason Day, the world number one. He's trying to secure back-to-back majors. The Australian is in tremendous form with successive tournament wins, including the recent WGC Dell match play. He already has two Augusta top three finishes to his name. So how can he go one step further this year?
Embrace it. Understand that, you know, there's going to be some hype there, but I know the feeling of trying too hard. So I have to go in there and focus on the right things, do everything that I can, but don't try too hard. Don't try and shoot yourself out of the tournament by doing that. I've done it the last, you know, couple of years, and I really want to try and get back to a, you know, good form around that golf course, and that's what I'm trying to focus on.
How impressed, Matt, are you with Jason Day?
Right now, I think I'm the most impressed with Jason Day because of his overall form. Here's an interesting perspective. There are 36 players on the PGA Tour that are averaging over 300 yards off the tee. Two of those 36 players are in the top 25 in strokes gained putting, and those two happen also, count them to be in the top 10 in that same regard. Those are Ricky Fowler, who's ninth, and Jason Day, who's fourth. So what impresses me the most, not only the maturity and the perspective that he brings to fore, but it's the fact that he has the power off the tee and he has the delicate touch around the greens. Right now, that is very formidable.
Gordon, six wins from his last 13 starts, including successive tournament victories. That's unbelievable. That's almost like a 50% strike rate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stat that Matt's just talked about is drive it long and putt good is an incredible stat, but it's one you want to go into the Masters with, because we know the par fives coming in, And if you can putt, well, we all talk about length is key, but I think touch around the green is massive at the Masters.
How important, Matt, is distance when you get to Augusta?
Right now, the course, because it has been lengthened over the last decade or so, does require length off the tee, but not extraordinary length by today's standard. The key to Augusta National, by all accounts, works backwards. It is putting, but it's putting yourself in the proper position on the green to have the opportunities that you hope to have. So I think, as Gordon just alluded to, it's command of the game from inside of 100 yards that is paramount.
Gordon, putting at Augusta, we see it every year. It's really difficult for people at home, like most of us, to only watch the Masters on the television sets to appreciate how difficult it is to putt on those greens.
As you say, it's really difficult to understand that someone hits it to 10 feet and there's no putt. You know, he's going to be too lucky to get down in two, where Matt was saying that you have to be in the right place on these greens. No wonder that Nicklaus won, and no wonder Fowler won and Langer won, because they put the ball in the right place to give themselves the easiest putt. When you miss a green on the wrong side, I mean, we've seen them chip it off the green. There's no chip. So it really is, driving's massively important. But I think you need all aspects of your game to be hot for the Masters. Chipping and putting are paramount.
Well, Jason Day's got a complete game, Matt. Does Augusta National identify a complete golfer when you find out who your champion is?
I think so. And I think that he's shown us that he's capable of competing at Augusta National. I just think that the armor's different this time. You know, he had the vertigo last year at the U.S. Open, and all looked upon that as saying, well, he was in contention, and that was tragic that it took place. But I really think where he was forged by fire was at the Open Championship at St. Andrews. When he missed that putt on the final green coming up just short and below the hole, I think it left him with a deep scar and a conviction that he was not going to do that again. So if you look at Jason Day competitively now, he's actually more aggressive in those situations than he used to be. He used to get, as he got into contention, he would get more and more conservative back in the day. Now when you see Jason Day get into contention, he's getting more and more aggressive, or at least keeping his foot down upon the pedal. So, yes, I do believe that he has the consummate game. I believe he has had the consummate game for Augusta National. I think the difference now is in the 5 inches of fairway between the ears.
And one player that was at the top of the game is Rory McIlroy. He's now the world number three, Gordon, but desperate to win the career slam at the age of 26. What chances do you give Rory?
For me, unfortunately, it would be slim. I don't think he's been showing the form that we'd like to see, although he had a good run at the match play. And I do concern about his putting. I don't think, even though he's gone left below right, I'm not sure if he's got quite the feel and the confidence to actually maybe take on the Masters.
What about you, Matt?
Well, I think I'd agree with Gordon if we based it upon his run of form. But I've always said about Rory McIlroy that he reminds me far more of Phil Mickelson in terms of his consistency from tournament to tournament than, say, a Tiger Woods, who so many commercially or otherwise wanted to align him. So I look at that and say Rory McIlroy has shown glimpses of solid ball striking. If he has that back again at Augusta National and he can find any semblance of consistency with his putter, which I don't think he's that far off, then he could have a very good week. So I would number Rory McIlroy in my mind as one of the favorites, if not the.
And what about Gordon Rory's decision not to play in the par three contest?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't see any reason that a par three will add value to the tournament.
It's the sort of thing you'd do. You know, lock yourself away and concentrate.
Just concentrate on the bigger picture. And, you know, it's a fun event. Everyone enjoys it. But it's not a problem not playing in the par three. You know, there's something really important this week.
I believe Jason Day went to Augusta last Thursday. How about people treating it with too much reverence, giving it too much importance, and therefore sometimes not performing to their best, Matt, because they're out of their comfort zone?
Well, isn't that the formula that you just laid down for the current Jordan Spieth? I mean, we can look at technical issues and say, what's going on with his swing? What's going on with his proximity to the hole? He's gone from fourth in that category last year on the PGA Tour to 129th coming into the Shell Houston Open. But what I really think that he's suffering from right now, which certainly is going to carry over into Augusta National if his current form remains, is expectation. He has so much weight upon everything that he's doing. If he carries that into Augusta National, it's going to be too much. I really think that Jordan is becoming consumed by the expectations that he and the world have placed upon his shoulders. I mean, what do you guys think?
We walked around with him at St. Andrews, had a great chance in St. Andrews, but Friday afternoon there was some serious frustration coming out of Jordan because it wasn't going really as he planned. He was getting angry within, but also that can be laid on Rory, isn't it? The expectation.
I think you're being a bit hard on them. I think that's Jordan's character. I think he is, you know, he reacts on the golf course every single time. He's nonstop chatter with his caddy, Michael Greller. He's involved. You can see how much he's involved in his game. He reacts when he hits a bad shot. I don't mind seeing that.
No, I don't mind seeing it, but does that add value? Does it make better for the forthcoming holes when there's maybe a bit of frustration in there? I'd rather see a bit of calmness within and belief within, and I've made an error, get on with it.
Yeah, but you weren't saying that when he won the first two majors of the year and could
but
have won the last
he
two.
Wasn't getting frustrated. Well, but he was at St. Andrews. He wasn't getting frustrated.
But he's driving himself on. It's an edge, isn't it?
Such a small margin of being competitive and interested than actually going over the edge and looking a bit mad.
You know, Jordan Spieth made 5 birdies in 6 holes in the final round at the Shell Houston Open. He is not far away, by the way.
Oh, I agree. I mean, no one's far. We all know that we're one swing away from being a champion again, even you, Robert.
Well, the question is, will Jordan win back-to-back Masters? It was at Augusta last year that the then 21-year-old shot to prominence, winning his first major with a record-equalling 18-under-par finish. And Spieth is aware that being defending champion brings added pressure.
A little more amped up for it. There's just an added, you know, it's a major. You only get 4 a year, and that's kind of where your legacy's left in golf. So, no, I don't think I'm any more comfortable than a normal event at all. I think I'm less comfortable, but I think that when you're in contention, you can use those nerves, that adrenaline, to your advantage by just recognizing that those around you are feeling it, and maybe you have you've seen the success, you've seen the shots, you can kind of visualize success as you're in the process, and I think that that's an advantage.
Matt, as a 22-year-old kid, how mature is his thinking, his rationale?
He's unbelievable in that regard. I think he's a gift to golf in terms of his ability to handle things, but more so the perspective that he carries into it and his forethought. It's absolutely remarkable to speak with this young man. I don't know where I would pin his maturity level, Robert. What would you say? I'd say at least 35, maybe 40 years old in terms of the complexity of his thoughts. Very, very impressive and very intelligent young man, more so than he even gets credit for.
Yeah, when I hear him speak and see how he breaks the game down, I think of one person, Jack Nicklaus. I think he's the nearest thing to Jack Nicklaus with the way he thinks and the way he sees things that I've ever seen.
He really is a very cool character. And, you know, as great champions are, they've always got something a little bit different. As he says, at the perspective of this week, there's a lot going on, but I'm sure when he tees it up, it's all gone. It's now I'm in the place where I want to be. I'm going to play golf.
Well, you know, Day, Spieth and McIlroy have lifted 5 of the last 6 major titles between them, 1, 2 and 3 in the world rankings. It's all going their way. They were talking about the big three, Matt, about 3 or 4 months ago, but it started to stretch a little bit with Watson and Fowler and Adam Scott. You know, there are others that are bubbling on the outside, and maybe the big three can be stretched a little bit.
Oh, yes, by all means. When you have that conversation, how far away from it is Danny Willett? How far away from it is Brandon Grace? Now we've seen the reemergence again, the assertion of Louis Oosthuizen. Statistically, where would you put Adam Scott towards the top of that list? Where would you put Bubba Watson? Yeah, I think the big three is probably more like maybe a big 8 or 10.
Particularly around Augusta, Gordon.
Well, I mean, Stenson as well. Stenson's playing great. Oosthuizen, he's really been shown some form over the last few weeks. So, you know, as you say, 10, 8, going 12 maybe.
So if you can't pick Day, Spieth or McIlroy, who's the next player you look at, Matt?
I think if I were looking at a pair, I would look at Louis Oosthuizen and Henrik Stenson right now. Stenson gets a little bit nervy over the putter, which I realize would be calling for many to say, but that's the chief arsenal of Augusta National, the short game and the putter. But I really think that Stenson's on form. The knee is healing well for him. I think this could be the year that he could do it. Louis Oosthuizen, the question I always had for Louis was, did he have the commitment to do the work that he needed to do to be one of the best players in the world? And he seems to be back to a form that he had pole right around 2010 when he won the Open Championship at St. Andrews. And then shortly thereafter, remember, he was able to contend at Augusta National and get into that playoff with Bubba. So those would be the two. If I had to boil it down to two, they would be the one.
How about you, Gordon?
If we're talking outsiders...
I'm not even talking outsiders. We're just away from the top three.
Yeah, I would go with someone like Reed, Patrick Reed. I think that's really good. And I would like to see someone like Willett as well.
I was just thinking, Matt, that you and Gordon, neither of you mentioned Bubba Watson. I can't see past Bubba Watson for this Masters.
You're a big fan.
Well, he won at Riviera. He's got some form coming in. And never in the history of the game, Matt, has a player found a golf course that matches his game more than Augusta does match Bubba Watson's game.
But isn't that the beauty of the conversation that we're having? Because none of us mentioned Adam Scott, who won two of the four events in Florida against very stout fields as well. So there are so many. Really, I don't think at this juncture, this is the beauty of it, isn't it? We can't be wrong. But there are so many players that deservedly so, should be mentioned in this juncture.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned Dustin Johnson, who played well last week, and Phil Mickelson, top 15 for him. What about Phil, another green jacket? Chances, Matt?
The chances are there. You know, when a player gets older, he now in his mid-40s, people look at it and say, does he have the length to continue to contend at Augusta National? He's fine. He's still belting it out there, 290, 300 yards. Sometimes he pops it longer than that. There's no issue with that. I think that Phil Mickelson, because it is a Ryder Cup year in particular, because he does feel Father Time running him down, and because, believe it or not, it's an Olympic year, too. Don't really hear him talk too much about that, but I think Phil would love to be representing the United States in the Olympics. I think with Phil, it's a question of being interested, and in 2016, he's very, very interested.
And lastly, Matt, sad news. I mean, Tiger just loves the Masters, but because of the back injury and the ongoing recovery, he's not going to be there.
Didn't really come as a surprise, I think, to many. The only thing I ever wonder with Tiger is why we're always dancing around shadows and trying to read clouds. I wish that he was a little more forthcoming, coming a little bit earlier, so everyone's not watching the final grains of sand before they're gone, and we say, is he going to be there or is he not going to be there? Every indication that we had coming in was that his physical form was such that he would be unable to compete at Augusta National. His agent said as late as yesterday that he does expect that Tiger will be back in this year. I hope for Tiger's sake that he takes the time that he needs to be fully fit when he comes back so we have an opportunity. Think about all these names that we've already mentioned here today and think about a Tiger that's even in 75% of his former form. Then that would be a lot of fun.
It sure would be a lot of fun. Before we let you go, Matt, I want your tip for the Masters and your outsider.
I feel really good about Henrik Stenson. I feel really good about Louis Oosthuizen, even though I know all the focus are going to be up on the top three with Merritt. But those would be Stenson in that regard that I would put down a few quid on.
Matt, as always, a huge pleasure. Thank you very much for finding time in your day to spend time with us. All continued success for your show, The Fairways of Life, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Jens, thank you so much.
Well, it's always great to hear from Matt Adams. He's really plugged into the situation stateside. Let's concentrate now on some potential European winners. We've mentioned Henrik Stenson. We've mentioned Danny Willett. What about the world number nine, Justin Rose?
Can he do it? Yes, he can. Of course he can. He's a wonderful player. Hasn't really shown this year so far the form of Stenson and other people, but I think Rose has always got to have a shout.
Rafa Cabrera-Bejo played very well last week.
He played
fantastic
very well.
65 in the final round in Houston. A great showing in the Dell match play.
But his first time at the Masters, I don't see that. I think he's got a learning process before he's going to get an opportunity. Another guy we haven't mentioned is Andy Sullivan. Great front runner. Has he got the tools to win it?
Sergio Garcia?
Well, he's got the tools from tee to green. There's no question about that. But how many times have we talked about Garcia probably outbats most people but doesn't finish it off?
We've run through some of the European prospects, but the South Africans have got a good clutch of players that have a chance here. Oosthuizen, Schwartzel, Brandon Grace.
Oosthuizen, my man out of that lot. Brandon Grace, all big front runners, big hitters of the golf ball. Schwartzel's won it. So, you know, who knows?
There are 19 first-timers in the field this year, including the likes of Andy Sullivan that you just mentioned, Russell Knox, Kiradesh Afibanrat, and Cabrera-Bejo. I mean, what is a great performance for a first time around Augusta?
I think top 15 is a good performance for a first time.
So get yourself exempt for the Masters the following
definitely,
year.
Definitely. I mean, it is an invitational event, really, other than Sony World Rankings and a couple of other ways of getting in. But I think if they finished 15th. Well, I'm in next year. I bet you that's the first thing they say.
We've mentioned Jason Day, the world number one, as certainly the world's top Australian, top player. Yep. But we can't really end this chat without talking about Adam Scott. Lost in a playoff at Riviera, and then he goes win-win, Honda Classic and the WGC at Doral. I mean, that's extraordinary form. And he's got Steve Williams back on the bag, which was already organised before. So the caddy that he's won those tournaments with is not working for him this week at the Masters. It's Scott and Williams as a team.
Yes, I mean, really, at the turn of the year when the broomstick was going out, I almost feared for Adam that it wasn't going to happen for him, but he's really put that to bed as a win, second and a win. But also what I liked about his second win was he played that last hole ugly, but he really dug deep and great chip and putt to win. I think he really has got all the tools, and he learnt massively from that failure at Lytham to dig so deep and win that Masters in the playoff. I think he's got all the tools.
Well, Gordon, you've had a good sort of run through the field, and we've heard from Matt Adams.
Yes.
Who do you think? I want a tip from you and an outsider.
My tip is Stenson. I've said all along, I just feel that it's his time. My outsider is Patrick Reed. I think he's full of passion and his time as well.
I'm with you with Patrick Reed. I think he's tremendous value. Between 40 and 50 to 1 for Patrick, that's big odds around Augusta. And a man that drawing the ball is a natural thing for him. He's not a guy that's going there like others have before, and all of a sudden they've got to find a draw without thinking he can move it from right to left. So I think Patrick Reed's a great outsider, but I can't look past Bubba Watson.
Okay.
My heart says I want Rory McIlroy to win and get the career slam at the age of in his mid-20s, but I can't see past Bubba. After winning at Riviera, he and that golf course, they're like one. They become one person. Those white fades that go 330 around some of those corners, it's intoxicating. It's hard for me to see past him. So it's my Bubba and Patrick and your Henrik and Patrick. Now, in other news, Jim Herman claimed his first PGA Tour title with a win at the Shell Houston Open at the Golf Club of Houston. An incredible win for a guy who hadn't won before, knowing full well after doing well after three rounds that if he were to close the deal on Sunday, he wins a check for over $1 million. He gets his exemptions on tour, FedEx Cup points, Ryder Cup points, and with a few days to go, a berth at this year's Masters. Let's hear what he had to say.
This is unreal. I'm looking forward to next week. It's going to be amazing. The next 4 days are going to just fly by.
Incredible stuff. Dreams really do come true if you stay there long enough and you try hard and you sort of burst every tendon and sinew trying to get there. Eventually something good will happen. Well done to him. It really was superb. Right, top 10 in the world rankings look like this. Jason Day is in the top spot, number one. Number two is Jordan Spieth. Number three, Rory McIlroy. Four is Bubba Watson. Five is Ricky Fowler. Six is Henrik Stenson. Seven is Adam Scott. Eight is Dustin Johnson. Justin Rose is in nine. And Patrick Reed rounds out the top 10. That is a very strong top 10, not only in who the players are, Gordon, but in how they're all playing.
Let's see how they do at the Masters. It will be very interesting if we get one of the guys outside the top 10 to win to beat those guys in form.
Now, in the ladies' game, England's Charlie Hull achieved her best major result with a joint second finish at the ANA Inspiration as New Zealand's Lydia Ko, the world number one, 18 years of age she is. She's quite phenomenal. And in its 25th year, the European Senior Tour has confirmed its schedule for 2016 with three new events. The 2018 Ryder Cup host course, Le Golf National, plus Golf Club Udine and the Hanbury Manor Marriott Hotel and Golf Club will play host to that trio of new tournaments. And former England internationals John Terry, Robbie Fowler and Paul Scholes will be swapping the football field for the fairways after it was confirmed they'll take part in the Celebrity Pro-Am at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth in May. So before we go, fancy race to Dubai tips. Last week, Jamie Spence tipped Jason Day to win at Augusta. And just to recap, Gordon Brand Jr. has gone for
Inform Stenson and outsider Reed.
Matt Adams has gone for West Azen and Stenson. And I've gone for Bubba Watson to win Patrick Reed as the value bet. You can check out the new improved Fancy Race to Dubai game on the My European Tour section of europeantour.com. Get registered and your team selected ahead of the Masters. That's all we got time for this week. Be sure to join us next week when we will look back on the first major of the year, the 80th Masters from Augusta National. We'll also be looking ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Open de España, where Sergio Garcia and his foundation are heavily involved with the event at Valderrama. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. So until next week, from Gordon Brand Jr.
Goodbye.
On his way back down to West Country quickly, and from myself, Robert Lee, have a great Masters. We'll see you next week.